What's a smart recording? What does a smart
I don't
recording
know.
different to a normal
I don't
recording? I do not
know. I don't
understand.
know. I think the difference between, and you work in tech, Quiva, so you can tell me. I think maybe the difference between a normal function and a smart function is that the smart function gathers more data about you specifically.
Yeah, I mean, the normal function is often also doing that as fucking much as it can.
But this is just new and interesting ways to expand the reach of the digital panopticon.
Well, yeah, an important part of all the kind of large language models slash supposed artificial intelligence stuff as well is that it lights giant piles of money on fire constantly.
Here's a fun thing for folks at home to try, and I assumed everyone had tried this, but apparently a room full of very smart techie engineers and product development people had not tried it. Ask ChatGPT what data set it is trained on. Follow up by asking ChatGPT why it cannot disclose that information. And just if you're having an extra saucy fun time, ask it to cite its sources sometime.
I mean, it will give you sources, they will just be completely made up.
No, it will tell you I cannot give you sources. Because
Okay,
you
I.
can ask it, if you ask it to like write a letter, or not write a letter, write an essay, and in the body of the text, it will give references. Those references could possibly not re exist. But if you ask it to write you a piece of a factual bit of prose, and then say, can please cite sources for the above, it won't do it. It will give you some further reading, but it won't do it, and it will freely admit that this information might be complete bollocks. So what I would like everyone in the world to do is ask ChatGPT those three questions, note the result, and when you've stopped screaming, print it out and just put it on your bedroom door so you look at it and you remember. You fucking remember. Some people have a really negative reaction to AI, and you know, maybe for some of it, these people, it's because they feel that they are going to be replaced, or and maybe for some of it's these people, they were given time to present all the ethics of AI and they only get got 4 minutes. And that's, you know, everyone's got their reasons.
So this may have happened to some people
No.
who will
Well,
remain anonymous.
in this completely hypothetical, completely hypothetical example. Anyway, just I was saying to Quiva before we came on, I may be replaceable, but I am waterproof. I will survive it if someone went to, say, my house with a power hose in a way that perhaps ChatGPT would not if someone went to a data center with a power hose.
Just give the sea levels a couple of years.
Oh, that's true. And they're helping that themselves.
Yeah,
So,
true, true.
we live in a dystopian nightmare. Podcast.
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 I got a comment from Emerald, spelled with A's, with two A's in there on co-host. Calling into question our done with child murder statements again.
I feel. If you feel cheated, Emerald, how do you think that I do? I've just like, I don't trust information I get from ChatGPT without verifying it. I don't trust it when Quiva says she's done with child murder at all.
How would you react if ChatGPT just like unrelated to anything you just asked it said, "Don't worry, we're done with child murder."
How would I react? Well, Quiva, what you need to consider is that at you know, at any point in time, I am one inconvenience away from completely breaking down, setting everything I own on fire, and running away into the woods never to return. So I imagine it would be something in that ballpark.
Okay, fair. But yeah, no, specifically in relation to the insects from the last chapter who all got killed, or from two chapters ago, I guess, actually, who all got killed. And in particular, you know, one of them was called Maggot. It kind of implies a non-adult insect.
Shout out to our vegan fan base. You are correct.
Yeah.
I have no moral defense for the cheese I eat.
So, you know, maybe they were also noted to be very short. So I don't know. Maybe those were child insect monsters, or maybe or I don't know.
Maybe they're insectoid short kings, you know.
Sorry about the child murder.
Nota apology for child murder when.
Yeah, very hard to find the sorry about the child murder gift card in the stationery shop.
I would try Redbubble.
Try to shop local if I can. I like, you know, I like Vibes and Scribes. They're a local bookshop.
Yeah, they're cool. But you can find any card on Redbubble. I managed to find one for my meta's top surgery that said, thanks for the memories.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the classics.
Yeah. Breast in Peace was also a very good option.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, chapter 74. The pilgrims have left the Cobweb Cave and the Yellowflower Abbey behind them. Some arson may have happened. And
light arson.
Yeah, they're back on the road. And one day they come across a huge mountain that they need to cross. And there is an old man. The old man warns them that there is a group of demons in the mountain who have, this is how he expresses it, devoured all the mortals in the world. So this scares the shit out of Tripitaka. He falls off his horse. It's classic bit.
Very good news for Tripitaka in that he is now apparently immortal.
Yeah, I don't think it meant in any way to be a literal statement, but you know.
Yeah.
But
I hope Tripitaka has some nice riding gear. He's fallen off that thing a lot. That's how Christopher Reeves got rear windowed. Yeah.
Rear window. I get what you mean, but still.
Yeah, that's awful. It's lateral ableism, but it's ableism, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was a bit worse off than, like, rear window was just your man broke his leg, right?
I said rear windowed because he then played the guy in the remake.
Oh, did he? Sorry, I didn't know
that. Yeah.
I did not
know
that.
Yeah, he did. They cast him, which seems a bit... He was very good in the role.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a remake.
Yeah, there was a remake.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a remake of Psycho with fucking Vince Vaughn as Bates, I think, if I remember correctly.
Psycho. Yeah, I mean, one of the defining characteristics of Bates is that he has absolutely no personality, so I can see it.
Yeah, I have not seen
bitchy
it.
Bitchy Sunday or Saturday. We're having a bitchy Saturday.
Yeah. I have not seen it, but I can't imagine a Psycho remake starring Vince Vaughn being good.
I'm gonna add that to the bad movie roster.
Oh.
We will report back. Assuming we haven't been destroyed by the machines.
But yeah,
Who would be right? Who would be right?
Yeah, Wukong picks up Tripitaka off the ground and tells him, you know, don't worry about it. I'm here, I'll protect you, whatever monsters, it doesn't fucking matter.
Don't worry, babe. I got you.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll go talk to this old guy and ask him what's up. And Trippy Jack is like, you're very vulgar and you're very ugly also. You know, I don't want you to offend or scare this guy. So
no offense, but you're offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't wrong.
So Wukong says, okay, look, I'll change into someone more attractive first. So he shapeshifts into a very young, attractive looking monk. Everyone stands around and admires how pretty Wukong looks.
Baiji, sexy monk.
Yeah, Baiji
from
is
sexy
like
sexy monkey to sexy monk.
Baiji is like, oh, if I tried for 2 or 3 years, I wouldn't be able to do a shapeshift that attractive. Good job. He is now the handsome non-monkey king, I guess.
I'm just, when you say that, I'm picturing the sexy priest from Fleabag. That's all I'm picturing. Also, I think your personality is the problem, but pretty goes a long way.
So yeah, so Wukong asks this guy, what's the big deal with these monsters? And he's like, oh, they're really powerful. They have friends in high places. The four dragons of the Ocean King know them.
I owe that guy money.
Yeah. The 10 kings of hell are like their bond brothers, like they're a massive deal. And Wukong's like, whatever. Who cares? I've bullied the kings of hell. That's fine, whatever.
I'm just gonna some Wu Karen that dressed as the sexy priest from Fleabag.
The old man is like, the old man like got like the old man like accuses him of being blasphemous, and it's just like, you're just some young handsome priest. How could you know all these gods or whatever? You're obviously lying. What are you talking about?
Blasphemy is the brand.
So Wukong decides to show off his true form. He drops the disguise and scares the shit out of the old guy, who refuses to talk anymore. He basically tells them, oh yeah, whatever, there's nothing to worry about. I don't know, there's monsters, who cares? But Baiji is like, no, okay, you've gotten actually no information out of him. I'm gonna go ask about it, okay? He asked the old guy about the monsters here, and he gives Baiji a bit more information. So this is the Lion Camel Ridge, which has the Lion Camel Cave in it, and there's three demon kings there. And they have a load of demons in their army. They have 500 monsters guarding the south summit, 5,000 monsters on the south summit, 5,000 on the north summit, 10,000 guarding the road on the east side, 10,000 on the west side, 5,000 on patrol, 10,000 guarding the cave, and there's also a load of fellas just working, tending fires, gathering firewood and all that stuff. There's maybe 47,000-48,000 of them all together, and they fucking love eating people.
I love that. Just pure relish it.
Yeah.
Just eating people in the way that you get McDonald's after a messy night.
Like this does rattle Baiji a bit. It actually scares him so much that he shits himself. That is the text of the novel. I'm not making a joke there, or like he literally does shit himself.
Disgusting is the brand.
Yee.
Ew.
But yeah, Baiji's like, oh yeah, actually, this is really dangerous. There's a fucking lot of them, and Wukong is still just, whatever, I'm the fucking Monkey King. Who gives a shit? And as they're talking, they realize the old man disappeared, and it was, in fact, a god giving a warning to them again, because this is just this is what it is every time. I don't know why they're
Yeah.
surprised by this anymore.
Well, not only is it the god warning every time, but the god's got to be sick of this at this point. Man, get your shit together, please.
So yeah, this time it was the gold star of Venus again, Li, and Wukong manages to catch up with him and ask him about it, and he's like, well, it actually is a pretty serious situation. And Wukong's like, okay, fine. If it is that bad, can like we get some troops from the Jade Emperor then? And he's just like, okay, we'll have 100,000 soldiers ready for you if you need them. No big deal. And
Wow.
he flies off.
Our budget is unlimited.
They are the gods.
Yeah.
So yeah, Wukong decides to scout ahead himself. So he jumps to the top of the mountain and he hears banging on the other side, and he looks down and he sees a monster hauling a banner and ringing a bell, and he turns into a fly and goes down to spy on the monster, who's conveniently talking to himself about that, oh, I need to be on guard, on the lookout for that Pilgrim Sun guy. We got told he's really tricky. He can even like shapeshift into a fly. And Wukong's like, wait, how the hell did he know that? Did he see me? And he realizes, oh no, he's just talking about me. And he goes, he decides to get more information by shapeshifting into a monster with like the same clothes and the same bell and the same banner and everything. He's a little bit taller.
Hello, I am the new guy.
Yeah.
Tell me more things about this handsome and immortal and really smart monkey king, please.
That's pretty close to where this is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, so runs up to the other monster, and the monster's like, oh, who are you? I don't recognize you. And Wukong's like, what do you mean you don't recognize me? We're all part of the same family. We're in the same army here.
You don't recognize your good old cousin Fred Thread.
Yeah, so
third cousin twice removed, Fred.
So yeah,
Janine's boy.
Yeah, so Wukong's excuse he comes up with is like, oh yeah, I used to tend the fires. But I just got promoted. So I only newly got promoted because I was so good at tending the fires. I'm on patrol now. That's why you've never seen me before. And the monster's like, okay, but I've never seen anyone around here with like a pointy mouth like yours. That's really weird. And Wukong just kind of like rubs his hand over his mouth and shapeshifts it away slightly. He's just like, what are you talking about? I don't have a pointy mouth. You're seeing things. And the monster's like, no, you definitely just had a pointy mouth. That's really weird. You're really suspicious. Why are you here if you're meant to tend the fires? And he's like, yeah, I got promoted. It's cool. And the monster
keep gaslight given.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm proud of that.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
The monster's like, okay, let me see your nameplate. Show me your fucking ID. And Wukong is like, oh yeah, I got a shiny new nameplate because of my promotion. It's really cool. Let me see yours first, though. and the guy is like, sure, that's not suspicious. Here's mine. And so he has a nameplate with Little Wind Cutter written on it, and Wukong reckons Windcutter is the title that all of the like monsters on patrol have. So he makes an ID for himself, but he makes his one say Chief Windcutter. And he shows it to the other monster. The monster's like, "Hey, what the fuck? Why are you the Chief Windcutter? Everyone on patrol's Little Windcutter." And Kong's like, "Yeah, I was so good at tending the fires. They put me in charge of the patrols. I'm your boss now. This makes total sense. Don't think about it too hard."
It's fine. Don't think about it. Just don't think about it.
Yeah, the boss is like, "Oh, Captain,
don't worry
I'm
about
really
it.
I'm really sorry, Captain. I'm so sorry I didn't recognize you." And Wukong's like, "Okay, I won't blame you, but I think it's only fair as part of my new promotion that everyone in the platoon should give me 5 ounces of silver as a present." Just immediately going into trying to take bribes.
It just, they cannot help themselves. He cannot. All he had to do was be Little Windcutter, and he couldn't for a second even consider not being the highest ranking person in the room.
So yeah, the Little Windcutter is like, "Okay, let's go meet the rest of the platoon and we can all chip in." And they go meet the rest of the lads. They're at the Pen Peak, which is called that because it sticks straight up in the air like a pen. And he tells all the other guys who he is now claiming to be in charge in to gather around. And he explains, "Okay, the three demon kings that we all totally work for want to eat the Tong Monk. But they're very worried about this Pilgrim Sun guy. He's super strong magical powers. He can transform himself. He could even potentially change into and impersonate a Windcutter to fake his way in here and spy on us. So now they've promoted me because I was so good at tending fires to be in charge of all of you. And that I'm the chief now, and I'm here to figure out if any of you is really Sun Wukong in disguise. And how I'm going to do this is I'm going to ask you all to explain in detail what magic powers the three demon kings that we all work for have. And I know all this information already because I'm in charge here. But if you get anything wrong, that means you're Sun Wukong in disguise. And I'll know. So you need to tell me everything you know about the guys we work for."
Great. Great. Beautiful.
So one of the Windcutter lads is like, "Oh, the first great king, he once swallowed 1,000 celestial soldiers with a single gulp." And Wukong is like, "Bullshit. No, he couldn't do that. What are you talking about? How big is this guy? What are you on about?" And he's like, no, he did. He's like, he can shapeshift. He can get really tiny. He can get really big. Once when he wasn't invited to the Festival of Immortal Peaches, he attacked heaven."
So much drama.
So
much fucking drama. Why do you want to go?
I mean, they do make you immortal, the peaches.
This is pretty, the type of people who want to be at these parties shouldn't be at these parties.
And when he attacked, the Jade Emperor sent 100,000 celestial soldiers to attack, but the Demon King opened his mouth as big as a city gate and started eating them, and the heavenly forces just ran away and locked up the gate of heaven instead of fighting because our king is so cool and powerful. And Wukong thinks to them, "Oh, okay, if that's the worst he can do, I can probably handle that. That's probably fine." And then he's like, okay, that was all correct, actually. Forget that I reacted incredulously at the start.
Don't worry about it.
I'm in charge. I'm not suspicious. Explain in detail what magic powers the second great king has. And we're like, oh, he's 30 feet tall. He has silkworm-like eyebrows and phoenix eyes. He has a lovely lady's voice. His nose resembles a dragon. And when he fights someone, all he has to do is wrap his nose around the enemy and kill him. In other words, this guy has a trunk. And Wukong is like,
keep his nose out of your business.
Okay. Elephant dude, that's fine. I can take him. That doesn't seem like too big a deal. Tell me about the third great king. What's he like? And one of them was like, the third great king is called the Rock of 10,000 Cloudy Miles. And when he moves, he whips up the wind and transports the sea. He's a treasure called the Yin Yang Double Force Vase. And if someone gets trapped inside it, it'll liquefy them in 1 3/4 hours. And Wukong's like, okay, I can probably take that guy, but the vase sounds like trouble. I should be careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then out loud he says, okay, you've all been extremely accurate in your information, which I already knew about the guys we work for. But which of them, whose idea was it to eat the Tong Monk? Who can tell me that?
That's everyone's idea. That's everyone's plan. it's like a street joke. You can't claim ownership of it. It's just...
Yeah, one of them was like, wait, don't you know this already? And he's like, yeah, of course I know. I'm testing you, yeah. Remember? That's what's going on here. And
obviously.
Yeah. So the monster's like, well, the first and second kings have lived here for a long time, but the third king is from out the west, from the Lion Camel State. 500 years ago, he ate everyone in the city there and took over. But he heard about the Tong Monk's pilgrimage, and he heard that if you eat him, you'll be immortal. So, but he also heard that he had a disciple with him called Pilgrim Son, who's super dangerous. So he wanted to team up with the other two kings so that they could kill Pilgrim Son together, and then they'd share the monk.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Wukong, even though he basically already knew this, gets really fucking pissed off at hearing about their plans to eat Tripitaka in more detail and kills all of them.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a security risk, really. It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, so he kinda kills all of them, and he looks down, he's like, oh, you know, they were actually pretty all right. You know, they held, they were pretty, pretty sharing information. How could I just kill them all like that?
Oh, well.
Okay. Oh, well, what's done is done. No, literally, that's basically, yeah. He's like, yeah. How the oh, God, I just killed all of them. Wow. Oh, well.
Wukong is nothing if not consistent.
Yeah. So he takes one of the normal Windcutter's nameplates and disguises himself to look like the first guy he met. And he heads up to have a look at the main cave, the Lion Camel Cave. And when he finds the cave, he kind of pretends to sulk for a minute until the other guys there ask him what's going on. Hey, what did you run into that Pilgrim Sun guy? What's going on? And he's like, yeah, I have. He's out there on the mountain. He's polishing his pole. He's getting ready for a fight. He's fucking terrifying. I'm pretty sure he's over 100 feet tall, and he has this iron rod that's as thick as a rice bowl, and he's just sitting there talking to himself about how he's going to kill all of us. he's fucking terrifying. He's so cool.
and really handsome.
Yeah.
And he tells the best jokes.
You know, there's fuck, the Tong Monk isn't that big, you know. There's like 40,000 of us. Are any of us even actually going to get a portion of this? Why are we risking our lives for this? Like,
I like that.
We should look after ourselves. We should fucking go. And he manages to convince the entire garrison to abandon the cave.
Yes.
This
labor is not worth the compensation.
Yeah. And that is the end of chapter 74.
Oh, that is a short one.
Yeah. I summarized a good bit of, I guess, dialogue and stuff here, but it's a fun one too, though. This is a nice one. I like this one.
That is fun. That is fun. It's always good to see labor power among the monster class.
Yeah, it's always nice when to have the little bit of the occasional one too, some self-reflection and just be like,
nah, fuck
yeah,
this.
Well, yeah, let's just fucking go.
I am not getting paid enough for this, and I will be acting my wage. Goodbye.
Yeah. It's great. Solidarity. I can't pronounce anything at the moment for some reason. I am a bit hungover. Solidarity forever and such. I had a fun night last night. I stayed up until 5 a.m. playing board games. Or, well, no, sorry, that's not true. Stayed up. I got to bed around 5 a.m. We weren't playing board games up until that time. We were playing Cosmic Encounter. It's a very silly game.
Oh. A very silly board game?
Yes.
I would like to hear more of this and subscribe to your newsletter.
You don't you hardly know Twilight Imperium, do you?
I don't.
Okay, yeah. Cosmic Encounter is basically you're each like an alien civilization attempting to colonize each other's planets.
Great.
Yeah. You win by having 5 colonies outside of your home planets. And the base game is fairly simple. You start with 20 ships. Every turn you draw a card, and whichever color you draw, you have to invade a planet in that player's system. And in attacking is done by sending ships and also then playing cards to back up the, or to like, what's the best way to say this? The basic flow of the game is that, yeah, you take turn, on your turn you invade one or two other planets. There is a, you can win or lose that fight, and it's the first to get 5 planets outside of their home system wins. The interesting part comes in the fact that there is just like fucking dozens upon dozens upon dozens of different species you can play, and each of them has their own rules, some of which completely turn the game upside down. So like, I was in the game, the last game we played last night, I, for instance, had an alien species that whenever anyone's ships get destroyed, instead of being destroyed, I can immediately heal them. And everyone who was about to lose ships gets them back, but I get to draw cards every time I do that. So I can help out anyone who loses ships, but I get a benefit for doing it. That's one of the tamer ones.
Nice.
There's,
well, I am glad that you enjoyed.
Yeah. It is a fun game.
Sweet.
And yeah, we tend to play it by giving everyone like two alien powers, and some of them interact in very silly ways. And yeah, it just becomes,
Chaos.
yeah, it's an extremely chaotic game.
Enjoy this chaos. Well, thank you for sharing. This has been a podcast.
This has been a podcast.
And we plug things. You have a new podcast.
I do. I started trying to get back to doing these podcasts, recording these podcasts again, and also like, and doing the ring one, and then I immediately got sick again and have been very tired since.
No.
So it's fine. Slightly behind on that, as more behind on that than I intended. I probably won't get the second episode out until the end of this month, for patrons, and then the first one will be public. I tend to get these out faster than monthly, but yeah, I've had to deal with shit.
Life happens sometimes relentlessly.
Yeah, if you want to see shit I do in general, I have a website, oakreef.ie, oakorwf.ie. Fuck it, if you like, I deleted my own Twitter account. The podcast still has a Twitter account at Monkey King Pod. But if you also want to get in touch with us, you can also, if you email monkeyking@oakreef.ie, I will also get that email if you want to do that.
Ooh, like the Stone Age.
Yeah, if you want to be old fashioned about it,
Umer
see,
move.
yeah, I don't know. It's better than the decaying corpse of. It's better than getting onto me via the decaying corpse of Twitter.
Yeah, I'm no longer on there either, but you can find me at MJ Stokes, spelled EMJAY Stokes on Instagram. And you can follow Hysteria Ireland on the same platform, which will, be horribly bad for your brain, but doesn't have Elon Musk on it yet. I have a new show also. It's called Molehills to Die On. It's a live comedy debate show, but the topics are stupid. I like that a lot.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably enough rambling and plugging.
This has been a podcast.
This has been a podcast. There will be more of them. This is a
That's
threat.
a threat. Yay.
Bye.
Bye.